I'll read a few verses in Luke 4. We've been discussing the sermon that Jesus spoke when he was at the synagogue in Nazareth. We called the sermon, if we could have given it a title, "I Am Here, Hear Me Now." And that could be the same with about any service, I guess, because we need to hear what's being said. And let's read a few verses, because starting in verse 21, "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You should have been hearing what I had to say. "And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." There was no doubt that these were gracious words that he was speaking. And then they got to reasoning and said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He grew up here, right? This is the same guy, right? "And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And he will proceed to give a couple examples of this. He says in verse 25, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, and furthermore, she was a Gentile." Verse 27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian," another Gentile. Now, he's trying to get him to see something here. And he used Elijah and Elisha as examples. And we were going over some things about Elijah and Elisha, so we won't be ignorant of what is being said in Scripture. And so this takes us to today, 2 Kings 2. And these things that we are led to speak about by the Holy Ghost lately have all been directed to the fact that we are to be full overcomers. And, you know, we've been taught this message here since the day whenever it was you came here. Okay, that's what is being emphasized. Jesus is coming soon. We know that. Scott and I talked about that a little bit the other day. Well, it's not down to an exact minute that we can figure out when it's going to be. Don't try to go there. We're there. We're at that time. You can see the signs in the world, what kind of world we're living in. The world we lived in when we grew up seemed to be a better place to live than the world we're at now. Right? And, you know, but we know evil men will get worse and worse, and they are. And if you have a Scofield Bible in 2 Kings 2, you'll find that it talks about the translation of Elijah. He is one of two men in the Old Testament who was translated. Enoch was the first one. Enoch, he walked with God. You think Elijah did too? Yes, he did. And we were talking about the mantle of Elijah. And we found it in Scripture five times. And we mentioned last time, just as a quick review, that Elijah's mantle really figures the Paul's gospel, the gospel of grace. That's why it's mentioned five times. So that's kind of the typical teaching there. And as we get to 2 Kings 2, we find that Elisha followed Elijah as Elijah followed the Lord. We'll find in this chapter that Elisha was given three different separate occasions to stay behind. But had he stayed behind, he never would have been given the opportunity to have the double portion of the spirit of Elijah, nor wear Elijah's mantle. And these two certainly enjoyed each other's fellowship. One of the things you'll notice as we go on in here is that the sons of the prophet in 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 15, they all knew that Elijah was going to be translated on this particular day. Yet, only Elisha walked with Elijah. And what does that tell us? It really tells us this, that many believers, in fact, most believers, they're really not going on with the Lord like they should. They'll go so far, but not anymore. They have their eyes on men, on a man, maybe their pastor, something else. And so in losing the focus of not putting God first, the Lord first in their life, they tarry behind, and in so doing, they miss God's best. In this portion in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15, we find a good picture on the life of a full overcomer, if we'll only see it. And it shows some examples that mirrors experience that all full overcomers must face in their lives. Both Elijah and Elisha are Old Testament full overcomers, heroes of faith. They might not be mentioned by name in Hebrews 11, but they're there, the prophets, okay? Elisha followed the example set by Elijah. And in this chapter, there was opportunity for Elisha to dwell at each of the places we find here in 2 Kings 2. But had Elisha done so, he would not have continued to follow Elijah and would have missed out on the best place that God had ordained for him. And as it relates to us, we too come to places in our Christian lives that are wonderful places to come to. Even some of them are hard places to come to. But these places are meant as places to visit, not as places to dwell. They're meant as places to learn something from, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to move on with Him. We're not to stay there. If the Lord would bless us with an abundance and we like that, you get hung up with that and you don't go on with the Lord. We need to continue looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12, 2. In 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15, we find that it is graduation day for Elijah, in a sense. But it's also graduation day for Elisha, too. For this is the day that Elisha will take over as the anointed replacement prophet of Elijah, and it'll be when he gets to wear Elijah's mantle. 2 Kings 2:1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I hope you know what this verse just said, but we'll go on. You'll get back to it. Gilgal is found 41 times in Scripture. We're in 2 Kings 2. And is the first place Israel camped after crossing the Jordan River. Gilgal means a rolling away. And all Christians have come to Gilgal, the place where their sins were rolled away, but God doesn't want us to dwell there. Just like he didn't want the children of Israel to dwell there in Gilgal. He wanted them to go in and possess the land. Elijah told Elisha to tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. But had Elijah tarried at Gilgal, he wouldn't have gone on with Elijah, nor would he have gone on to become the great prophet that he was. And there are in our lives many things to overcome. If you're going to be an overcomer, there's going to be things to overcome. That just goes without saying. Especially if we want to be a full overcomer, what we call a full overcomer, if you want to have God's best. And though, even though Gilgal was a wonderful place to come to, there was a lot more beyond. Verse 2, 2 Kings 2, verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Elisha wanted the fellowship of Elijah. And those that go on with the Lord from their experience at Gilgal go on because they want more fellowship with the Lord. Elijah certainly enjoyed the fellowship of Elisha, but he had offered Elisha the opportunity to tarry behind. Again, as we go on in this chapter, you'll see that the sons of the prophets in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15 knew that Elijah was going to be translated on this day, but they didn't go on. Only Elisha walked with Elijah. And we see that Elijah went on to Bethel and Elisha went with him. Bethel is about 4 miles from Gilgal. And Bethel means house of God. Hold your place there in 2 Kings 2 and go to Genesis 12. House of God, it speaks of the deeper fellowship that we can have with God. How many Christians who are saved, you wouldn't be a Christian if you weren't, even visit the house of God? And of course, I don't know that answer. You know, I don't. We don't see this place filling up, you know. And yet many people call this their home church. Now, the house of God doesn't totally mean the building that we have church in. The house of God is the place we come to in our lives where we have close fellowship with the Lord. And we are to have this close fellowship constantly. Of course, we have close fellowship with the Lord here in church. But how about Monday morning, Monday afternoon, you know, Sunday afternoon, in the middle of the night when you wake up? Maybe that's when we have our closest fellowship with the Lord. We first read of Bethel in Genesis 12:8, a place that Old Testament full overcomer Abram came to before he was called Abraham. And it says in Genesis 12:8, and he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent, having Bethel, that means house of God, on the west, and Hai, house of ruins, on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. And he called upon the name of the Lord. It seems that Abraham made a choice here, like all full overcomers must do. He chose the house of God over the house of ruins. So I'm not going to ask you what kind of choices you make in your life, because you have to answer to God for that. But he chose, Abraham did, to walk in the path of the Lord rather than follow the paths of the flesh. And we have a good example of somebody who did that in Lot. Okay, 2 Kings, again, 2, verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he says, Yea, I know it. Know it. Hold ye your peace. We'll talk about that phrase in a minute. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Jericho is 5 miles west of the River Jordan. Jericho means the place of fragrance, and it speaks of fragrance over the world. Recall that Jericho was the first city that Israel conquered after crossing the River Jordan. In Jericho, in type, it figures the attractiveness of the world, a place which has confining walls around it. A full overcomer cannot have the confining walls of Jericho in our lives, holding us in bondage to the world. Once we allow God to tear down these confining walls in our lives, Jericho becomes a fragrant place in our lives. Rahab, remember her? She lived in Jericho, and she had the marks on her of the best that the world could offer. However, she put her faith in God, and she put her faith in the God of Israel. And she said in Joshua 2, 9 and 11, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This was her confession of faith. Rahab, by putting her faith in God, became to us one of the examples of an Old Testament full overcomer. And in so doing, she also, not to her knowledge, but she became one of the grandmothers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we get victory over the world, we are not to stop there, but continue walking with the Lord. 2 Kings 2:5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, they came to Elisha and said unto him, the exact same words that the sons of the prophets at Bethel had said, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. So they said, the same words that the prophets at Bethel did, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? There are 19 verses in Scripture that contain the phrase, Knowest thou? And David already told you this morning, 19 is the number of faith. And both Elijah and Elisha, again, are Old Testament worthies of faith. And by faith, Elisha knew Elijah would be translated on that day, even though he had never witnessed a translation. Have you? But you believe in the translation, don't you? You want to be translated, don't you? And so no one before him had really witnessed this either. Who witnessed the translation of Enoch? Okay. So Elisha's answer to the sons of the prophets of Jericho were identical to his answers to the sons of the prophets of Bethel. Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. In other words, hold your tongues. I am after a double portion. Now, I know it doesn't exactly say that here, but that's the inference, okay? 2 Kings 2:6. And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And Elisha said to Elijah, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they two went on. Elisha leaves the place of fragrance over the world, and Elisha goes on with Elijah as Elijah followed the leading of the Lord. Jordan speaks of life out of death. If you contrast Jordan with the Red Sea, God had the children of Israel cross the Red Sea and the Jordan River, both on dry ground. But there's a difference in these two crossings that we need to see spiritually speaking. At the crossing of the Red Sea, there was death everywhere. You find this in Exodus 14. In Exodus 14, 27, it says, "And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." So what is emphasized with the Red Sea, with this crossing, is our death with Christ. Some Christians never get beyond that stage in life of being saved from death. The crossing of the Jordan emphasized our new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Those that go on with Christ and that walk with him learn to appreciate our new life that we have in Christ Jesus. They're the ones that feed on the old corn of the land. That's a meal not fit for babes. It's a meal that was only enjoyed after crossing the River Jordan. You can study that out in Joshua 5:11. 2 Kings 2:7. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan." The majority of Christians are just like these 50 sons of the prophets. They wish to view the best things of the Lord from afar off. Elisha, he didn't want to view things from afar off, and he went on with Elijah. And furthermore, Elisha's journey with Elijah didn't end at the River Jordan. 2 Kings 2:8, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground." This is the third time that we read of Elijah's mantle in Scripture. And as a side thought here, ask yourself, how many times can God part the waters? We see now three times in Scripture that this has happened. God is only limited by our lack of faith. I thought about this. How many of you remember Herb Jungk? Okay, some of you old timers. He was my Sunday school teacher way back when. I was about 11 maybe, somewhere in there. And he told me, he was up fishing. And he had his two daughters with him. They were young at that time. And he was out there and standing in water that was pretty deep, but for them it was really deep. And one of them got a little too far out there, and he cried unto the Lord, and he says, "Ty, that river came down 4 inches just like that." And he grabbed her hand and pulled her back. Okay. God is only limited by our lack of faith. You know, as an 11-year-old, I was thinking, really? You know? Yeah, it was really. It really happened. By faith, Moses parted the Red Sea. Really? Yes, it really happened. By faith, Joshua parted the River Jordan. Really? Yes. And it was during flood time. And it really happened. And they crossed on dry ground. It really happened. By faith, Elijah parted the River Jordan. And we're going to read here in a little bit. By faith, Elisha too parted the River Jordan. That's four different men. Each of these four men we just mentioned are examples of Old Testament full overcomers, men of faith. What was Elijah and Elisha's destination after crossing Jordan? Oh, no destination is given. We are also to come to the place in our lives that we walk with Jesus by blind faith. Where he goes, we will go. Where he wants to take us, we will go. And we will go by faith. And when we say, "I will go," we don't know where that's going to take us. But we know he'll take us. And so where he goes, we will go. Where he wants to take us, we will go. And we will go by faith. As we learned when studying Hebrews 12:2, we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 2 Kings 2:9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over that river Jordan, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Elijah said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." What was the requirement? He was to keep his eyes on Elijah. Keep that in mind. So Elijah here had asked Elisha what he wanted, and Elisha had wisely chosen a double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. That's a big request. Elisha knew that his leader Elijah would no longer be with him, and that if he was going to be the same kind of leader that Elijah was, he would need a double portion of Elijah's spirit upon his life, the Holy Spirit. We too, as we walk with the Lord, are to request of him wisdom. His wisdom. Yeah, we're going to be pretty wise sometime, but we want his wisdom. Now Elijah told Elisha that if he saw him when he was taken away, then his request would be granted. Next, we find mentioned the translation of Elijah. What took him? A chariot of fire? That's choice one. Choice two. Horses of fire? Choice three. A whirlwind. We should have paid attention when we were reading verse 1. Because what does it say in 2 Kings 2:1? And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Did you pay attention to that when we read it? You're paying attention to it now, aren't you? See how we miss things? We thought we heard that. But we were fighting with an answer there if we were thinking about it, weren't we? Okay, now let's read 2 Kings 2:11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. The first mention of a whirlwind in Scripture is here in these verses. It was a whirlwind that took Elijah. The chariot of fire and the horses of fire were there too, but they were given as a distraction to Elisha, if you will. However, Elisha had his eyes fixed on Elijah, not on the chariot of fire and the horses of fire. So Elisha got to witness the translation of Elijah, and then he further got to see the chariot of fire and the horses of fire. He didn't miss a thing. We read in verse 12, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. The eyes of the full overcomers are focused on Jesus and not on all the distractions. Thus, when Jesus comes, they who have been looking for him see him, their eyes having been fixed on him, and they too will be translated. We all have tests and trials, those ugly camels we talked about last week. I hear you, most of you say, thank the Lord for this thing or that thing that's in my life. So the focus isn't so much on the test or the trial, the ugly camel. It's on the Lord and what he's doing. 2 Kings 2:13, Elisha, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. The last miracle of Elijah was the parting of the water. The first miracle of Elisha was the parting of the water. And this is the fourth and fifth and final time we read of the mantle of Elijah in Scripture. Elijah's mantle became a priceless, treasured possession of Elisha, which no doubt he possessed and wore the rest of his life. And also remember that Elisha had stated by faith that he wanted a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, and Elijah, in essence, told him to pay attention. And if Elisha truly did witness that briefest of moments in the twinkling of an eye when he was translated, then he would receive the double portion of Elijah's spirit. Wow, think about that. Elisha did witness this translation up close and personal, not from afar off like the sons of the prophets. And the scripture records that Elisha performed exactly twice as many miracles as did Elijah. Truly, Elisha, like Elijah before him, had the kind of faith in God that all full overcomers must have. That is, to believe it possible with God to do the impossible. And I believe we've all witnessed that many times in our own lives. And we'll witness it again if the Lord tarries. Now, before we get back to Jesus' sermon at Nazareth Synagogue in Luke 4, let's finish our quick refresher course about some of the things that we know about Elijah and Elisha. And as we mentioned previously, those in attendance at that Nazareth Synagogue Sabbath day service where Jesus spoke, they would have been very familiar with these two Old Testament prophets whom they held in high esteem. And go to 2 Kings 6 for a minute. We mentioned this a few weeks ago about Elisha earlier in the study when we noted the story in 2 Kings 6 when Elisha was at Dothan. And the king of Syria had sent forth horses and chariots with a great host who came by night and surrounded the city of Dothan. Then we read in 2 Kings 6:15, and when the servant of the man of God, that is of Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compasses the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Elisha had first saw this with his eyes of faith. And Elisha first saw with his own eyes the chariots of fire and the horses of fire in the whirlwind that took Elijah at his translation. A double portion and more of the heavenly chariots of fire and the heavenly horses of fire were found round about Elisha. And let me add this and we'll quit. All full overcomers are surrounded by this heavenly fire, for it is the fire of the Holy Ghost, which is exactly what Ezekiel saw when trying to describe in Ezekiel 1, the four living creatures. I'll give you the scripture reference, Ezekiel 1:13. Hope you got something out of this morning. And if you didn't, something's wrong.